Good evening. I just wanted to cover some things tonight, hopefully that'll touch our hearts, in regards to temptations. Temptations, how we get in, but how to get out. All of us know we get in, but, you know, sometimes we forget on, in terms of how, to get out. And now, for some reason, that is not working from this distance. My little clicker. Jiggle that little thing, or else go to the next slide. If you want to sit back there, either you or Lisa could help me out there. Next slide.
Well, I need to take that little thing out, I think, because it's not advancing.
Put it in another one, then. Did you put it in another... wait, there you go. What are we doing here?
Okay. Is that the one you want?
Yes. Could we have it on slideshow?
See if it still works.
I know that. Okay, that looks good. All right. Sorry about that little interruption there. I'm sure Jesus didn't have to go through any of this stuff. He just stood on a rock and spoke. But
any,
what?
He was.
Yeah. That's right. He absolutely is the power in the PowerPoint. So, but in Matthew 6:13, I just wanted us to look at that again. It says in that prayer that Jesus was teaching, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, a lot of people can look at that and go, wait a minute, why am I praying for God not to lead me into temptation? And I want to throw us into James, the first chapter, verse 13, when it says, let no one say when he's tempted that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Underline that part. So that you don't misunderstand that when it says, deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, as I just read previously. Right there in James, the first chapter. See, a lot of things have to be clarified in terms of what God is telling us to do. That we not be frightened. That we not be frozen in time, afraid to make a move because I'm going to do something wrong. Don't do that. He's clarifying it. He says, God himself does not tempt anyone. So what do we have here? Do we have some contradictions? I mean, when you read the scriptures, you go, you say one thing, then you do another and whatever. No, there's a flow. Some things are a shadow of what was to come. Some things are things that were applicable back then. Some things were commands given to the priest. Some things are commands that are forever to be taken under advisement of those that belong to the Lord. So when we see that God can't tempt anyone in any manner, and yet we asked him not to lead us into temptation, what is it that we have to do? And the question would be, how can that be? Can God ever lead us into temptation? And I just wanted to remind us, God will never lead us directly into temptation. He's not going to set us up for a fall. A lot of people get angry with God. God does not set us up. You see, we tend to, because the only nature we've ever known is our broken nature. And then we don't even realize it's broken until you come to Jesus and you go, oh, I guess that's pretty broken. Broken thinking, stinking thinking, a broken feeler, a broken wanter, all of that's broken. But it's the only thing we ever knew. You come to know the Lord and he's so much higher, so much better. What he brings is the perfection we lack. And it's what we can't do on our own. That nature of God has to rule in order to do what God says. So people read the scriptures and are totally frustrated. Well, I can't do that. Well, no kidding. Your nature can't meet the measure of God. You got to crucify that nature, put it out of the way, don't let it rule. And then you let the nature of God rule. And then this can be done. So what God does is that he doesn't lead us into temptation, but he often sets up a situation. He constructs things for us. And in that way, we may, in that circumstance, be tempted. So could we understand that God doesn't lead us into temptation, but he leads us into situations where he already knows ahead of time that we will be tempted. And he's not doing it to be mean or to be stupid or to just say, gotcha. He does it because he knows we need to know what we're weak in. We need to know where the cracks are. He already does. We don't. So there's things that look really crazy. God, why did you even allow this to happen? Why did you allow that person to come into my life? Why did you allow that circumstance to come in front of me? Why did you allow that to happen? What are you doing? What do you got against me? Well, I want to remind us in Matthew 4, verse 1. God allowed a temptation to come to his own son. And it says Jesus was what? Led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Oh, well, that was easy for Jesus to do. He wasn't going to do anything. He had an opportunity, just like everybody else, to obey God or not. Whoa. But see, he allowed that nature of God. He didn't have the broken nature. He had the nature aligned with God. But just like the angels in the beginning, they had a nature aligned with God. And so did Adam and Eve have a nature aligned with God. They didn't have the broken nature we have. But because of free will, they still had a choice. And so do you. And so did Jesus. But the tempting, how wonderful. It says he didn't get out of this life with a free ride. He was tempted in all ways that we are. He was assailed and accosted in all ways that we are. He wasn't riding through this. He got every mosquito bite that anyone else did. He had to urinate and defecate. He had to eat, clean up himself. He had to learn how to grow up. He had to go through all of those things. He was tempted with lust. He was tempted with greed. He was tempted with jealousy in all ways. And he always chose to let God nature rule. Wow. He's our example, guys. Not the pastor, not the church, not the stinking Christians. Jesus Christ is our example. Get your eyes off everyone else. Stop using everyone else as your excuse to not serve God. God allowed this. There are some positive aspects of temptations. What do temptations do? They expose those weaknesses that are in us. I mean, things have happened in my life, and I go, God, what in the world? Whoa. I'm not glad I've been tempted. I'm not glad I've fallen. I am glad I was shown that I am not who I thought I was. I don't have the strength I thought I did. I don't have things understood or conquered like I thought I did. Thank you, Lord. I don't want temptation in my life. I don't want this junk. I don't want evil in my life. But if I need to know something I don't know, have at it, Lord. And all of us have prayed in some way or another, do with me as you will. He really wants to do that because he knows we're full of ourselves and it's junk. We don't know. We've either given excuse or we've lied to ourselves or we've lived in the deceptions of the adversary for so long that we can't even hear God anymore. God says, I don't want that to happen. I don't want you under a blanket. I don't want you blocking your ears like the little kids go, la, 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 la. I don't hear you. Yes, you do. You're just trying to block it off. Well, God knows when we do that. And guess what? He'll be glad to oblige us and come right back to give us the lesson, to allow a circumstance which is going to involve a temptation so that you can see I'm vulnerable there. Gee. And he's not going to leave us hanging. We're going to get to that in just a minute. How we get into temptations is what we're talking about now. But he's going to give us the rescue in how we get out of temptations. Now, some of the areas of temptations, it's not just like robbing a bank or being lustful. I mean, those are like big things we think of, you know. You can be tempted to rob a small store. So, I mean, just this crazy. We always kind of think of some of the big things. No, God's talking about areas of temptation in our lives. You might have some of those big things out of the way. Like I've shared earlier, you might not be shooting someone or going in and robbing a store or whatever. But look, there's areas you're going to be tempted for unforgiveness. There's going to be opportunities for you to have unforgiveness, and God is going to show you. He's going to allow someone to come right smack in front of you that might do something pretty uncomfortable, and you're going to have to respond to that. And when you respond with unforgiveness, I'm not going to forgive you for that, you little jerk. How dare you say that to me again? How dare you do that again? Whoa. Uh-oh. That may never be said out loud, spoken from your mouth. But God knows when it's in your heart, and we need to be aware and say, God, I want to know what's in my heart. When that comes up, God shows us what to do with that. So you might be tempted in areas of unforgiveness. You might be tempted to hatred or anger or disappointment, thinking unkindly, jealousy, rage, selfishness. The whole list goes on and on. You could say, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I'm sharing with you, I'm not giving you a limited list. It only means this. These are examples that God gives us. When he talks about the deeds of the flesh, it says, it gives a whole list. I mean, it goes to, you know, envy and drunkenness and carousing. It goes through the whole list, and it goes, and things like these. Because God didn't want us stuck in the law and say, there, I did all 18 of those, so there's nothing else left. No. There's sin and darkness in everything that is not of God. So, and a little news flash for us all. The temptation is not the sin. The opportunity for that thing, the thing that is there, the temptation is not the sin. Giving into it is the sin. Oh no, I gave into it. Didn't we just see in that wonderful song that we had before about he actually died for us? He gave up his life. He restored us by his death. He took the capital punishment for our sin. He restored us to God. Adam tore us away from God. We were sewn together, but it was torn away by what Adam did. Sozo, that word salvation is used in the scripture. The original word from the Greek word is sozo. It means sewn back together. Jesus made it so that we are sewn back together. You can't sew yourself. Your good works don't sew yourself. What Jesus did sews yourself. It's a gift, but guess what? You have to take it. Hello? I stand at the door and knock. Invite me in. Now what's good is that once you invite him in, he stays there. Even when we're stupid and obnoxious, and even when we sin again, but he's going to tap us on the shoulder and go, no, no, honey. See, he then becomes your father. Before, you were an orphan. You really didn't have anyone helping you and loving you and taking care of you. It was a circumstance. It was the luck of the draw, whatever was going on. But with Jesus Christ, you now have God the Father. He is your Father, one who loves you more than the example of like the prodigal son. I mean, that was just an example to show you how much God loves you. No matter what you do, I am going to love you. I don't want you to stay in your what you do. I want you to come out from that. I want you to stop your practicings. But when you sin, stop listening to those stupid voices. Stop listening to the thought process from the broken thinkers. I have forgiven you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You don't unlose me. You don't lose that salvation. The thing is that people are just sitting in church thinking that they have had that restoration with Jesus Christ. Not, it's sitting in church isn't going to do it. Now, that should be part of it. It should be in a fellowship. But it's you taking that moment in time saying, yes, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Come into my heart. He's not going to go, well, after you get all straightened out, I'll come in. No, some people actually think that. I got to get all straightened out before I come to the Lord. I'm going, whoa, you can't. Your broken nature can't even be in his presence. You got to ask him in first. And then you can go on the journey. And that's so powerful. Now, why does God use temptations? There's three or four things here, and we covered one of them before. One of them, why he allows temptations and uses temptations is to reveal what's in our hearts. But it's not a revelation to him, because he already knows what's in there. And what he does sometimes, once he reveals what's in our hearts, he uses temptations to replay some significant life issues. Sometimes there's a real difficult relationship going on with parents or spouses or things that have happened in your life. Some people have been abused. Some people have really had anger or bitterness in their hearts, and it rots their bones. And God will use some of these temptations to replay this and say, why would he do that? Guess what? He's the best teacher in the world. He's giving you another opportunity. He's replaying this again. He's allowing those things he wants you to see, those feelings are still practiced in you. Your stinking thought process is still practiced in you. And he's not going to leave you hanging. He reveals this. He allows it to replay because he gives us chance after chance after chance. And another reason why God uses temptations, it's to remind others of his grace and goodness. Because guess what? Other people see us in our fall. They see us when we don't do things. It might even be the other person. Or you're in an argument with somebody else, you know? And just, and God, and that person sees you going, I'm sorry. Right in the middle of your sentence, you go, you know, I'm sorry. I don't want to have this reaction. I don't want to have this response right now. Right now I'm angry and I don't want to have it. It's not you, it's me. I got to deal with this. Wow. That temptation, that falling into sin, but that restoration right in front of them. My gosh, God uses that to show his grace and his goodness to others. And then sometimes it doesn't happen during the interaction or whatever's going on. Sometimes it happens later when you go back and humble yourself and go to someone and say, you know, I was dead wrong. I love it when Mark, he talks to the husbands and he says, guys, sometimes you're not right. You're going to have to go back to your wife and say, you know, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. God doesn't care if it comes out like molasses. If you're confessing, that's what God talks about, confess your sins one to another. He's not talking about you getting up in the assembly and going over a list of all your sins and shocking half the people in the congregation, including your spouses. No. That's not what he's talking about. When you have sinned against another, you go to that individual. I am sorry. I confess my sin. I was wrong. It was unholy, ungodly, impure. I ask your forgiveness. They may never forgive you. That has nothing to do with you and God. You just have to be straight with God. And all you can do is open it up, and God says, you be at peace with all men so far as is possible with you. Because some people just aren't going to get there. They might not be there yet. Some people may never get there. That's between them and God. So he reveals us to ourselves, and he wants to use that to replay these things, give us another chance to remind us, and then to reinforce our will. I go, yikes. I mean, these are things that I knew as a teacher. These are some of the things that you use in teaching. You want to reinforce how you're supposed to do it correctly. And the only way to do that is reveal. You tell the kid what they don't understand. And then you have to replay this. You got to give them some more opportunities. And then you got to remind them as they go along, you need to tweak that a little bit. And then you have to reinforce it by having them be able to do this and do it a correct way. I say, God, you're the greatest teacher of all, but you have so much more patience than any one of us on the planet ever does. Remember, God is not you. He doesn't think like you. He doesn't react to you like you do to others. He doesn't love at a lower level. He loves at the higher level. So he is so different. His mercy is not your mercy. His wisdom is not your wisdom. His judgment and justice is not your kind. His is higher. That's why we think it doesn't apply to us. We just can't even imagine someone forgiving us after repeating transgressions. But he does, because he knows we're handicapped. We're doing the transgressions because we're crippled. And he says, listen, that's not an excuse anymore. I'm inside of you. You can choose me in my way and not your just broken way now. But I have mercy on you because I know how hard it is. And I know what the struggle's all about. I've been there, done that. He understands us, and he's willing to take us on this training program. Now, there's a couple of stages of temptation I think we really need to kind of go over so that we won't be fooled. We do need to understand this. Catch yourself at whatever stage you need to. Don't give in to the temptation. Now, in Genesis, the third chapter, read that again when you get a chance. That talks about the temptation of Adam and Eve, where it all began. They were given a command by God, and it was very simple and very clear, and they both understood what it was, and yet God gave them a choice. And in that choice, they could obey him or not. The only way you can show God that you love him is to obey him. You let him remain God, not yourself. Now, those stages of temptation involves deceit. I mean, the deceiver is out to do this. He's told Eve, no, a good thing's going to happen. No, no. Yeah, he did tell you not to eat that, but if you do, a good thing's going to happen, not a bad thing. That was a deceit. In any temptation, you're always going to get that part. A good thing's going to happen. Even in anger, I'm going to get to tell them what I think. It's deceit. And then there's delight. When they ate, they were delighted with the fruit. Delight. You're going to be delighted with whatever you give in to on your temptation. There's desire involved in temptation. They wanted that fruit right up front. It must have been very pretty or whatever it was. It was the tree of life that they were allowed to eat. I'm sure that had good looking stuff on it. Now, whether it was an apple or not, I don't know. That's always depicted as Eve eating the apple. I have no idea whether it was a pomegranate or a pineapple or, well, it was on a tree, so it wasn't a pineapple. But whatever it was, could have been a pear, could have been a mango or whatever. But there was deliberation that they went through. They had to think about that a little bit. Boy, I tell you, they knew what God had said. And even if it's a nanosecond, you're going to know. You're going to be able to think, is this right or wrong? And if you have Jesus Christ inside, the little bells are going to go off. Now, you can turn them off, but you're going to get some warnings inside there. And then, in terms of temptation, this is where it comes in, they were defeated. They ate the fruit. You're going to give in. If you don't deal with it up here, if you don't start understanding the things of God, and then what happened? What is always the end point after you give in? Do you have all that wonderful heightened feeling and joy and freedom and lightness and all this that you thought was going to happen? Despair. They felt bad. The shame and the blame began. That's exactly what the adversary wants you to do. He knows you're forgiven. He knows you don't belong to him anymore. And he wants, if I can't have you, I'm going to make you miserable, is what he's saying. When you give yourself over to Jesus Christ, you belong to him. You're sealed with the Spirit of promise, he tells us. Whoa. And look at all the stages of temptation. And he knows that God allows temptation because God wants the other things happening. He wants the revealing of your weaknesses. He wants the replaying of those things so you can practice that. All those things that we just talked about. He wants us to get out from underneath the hold and the sway of those evil things. The adversary wants to use it to whip us to pieces. So all your glory ends up in what? Despair. I feel so badly that I did that. The adversary wants you feeling badly. Because the minute you're down in the feeling badly, you're not lifted up in the Lord. And that's when he can get you. Nah, you're not saved. You can't be saved if you sinned. Oh, all that, God doesn't love you. You can't make it back. All this kind of stuff. You're no good. You're a worm. Junk. That's exactly where he wants you. He's demeaning you because he thinks he's so high. He's so full of pride. He actually thought he was equal to God. Well, he found out something. He wasn't. He may have been made very powerful and strong, but he was not equal. He forgot one piece of that puzzle. God created him. He didn't come along with God. But there are steps out of temptation. Now, this is the hard part. This is where you have to come in and step up to the plate. But if you know what the steps out of temptation are, and we'll finish up with this, I'm not going to read over all of these scriptures. I'm going to read them out for those that are listening in on the website, but I'm not going to read them. You read them at home. This is you and God working this out. But there are steps out of temptation. And the first step the Lord tells us is fight the devil. Fight it. He tells you to take every thought captive, put it under the anointing. He tells you to resist evil, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can find those things in James. You can find them all over, but I've just given you a couple. James 4, verse 7. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. So you fight the devil. Then you follow Jesus. You don't stand there blank. You follow Jesus. 1 Peter 2, 21 and James 4, 7 and 8. So you fight the devil. You follow Jesus. You flee from sin. That's all throughout the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Romans 13, 14, and Genesis 39, 12. And then you feed your soul. You're going to become like what you practice. We did that. You are what you practice. We talked about that last week. You're going to become like what you hang around. Prayer is hanging around God. It isn't just asking. Prayer is telling him how good he is. Prayer is worship as well as asking. Prayer is being in the presence of God. It's not even always involving the answer. It's involving going to God. That is so powerful. So feed your soul, Matthew 4, 1 to 11, and Psalm 119. We can read all the Psalm 119 that talks about, revive me, O God. I was reading that this morning. Revive me, O God. I don't know how many times. Revive me, O God. Revive me, O God. That's why the scripture is so important. It's a cry that we don't even know how to say. We don't even know how to talk to God. That's why you got to read the scriptures. I especially read the Psalms. The psalmist was crying out to God. I read those Psalms and it just fills me because it's speaking what I want to say to God. God, help me. Revive me, O God. God, you know I want to do it, but sometimes I don't. It tells me that from way long ago, I hear the same cry. God, I'm struggling. Help me. I don't want to do wrong, but sometimes I do. And here's this great God. I know. I love you anyways. Come to me. Start the journey, and I will bring you home. So fight the devil. Follow Jesus. Flee from sin. Feed your soul. It's simple. But it's hard because we're dealing with handicap. We're like paralyzed spiritual legs. But God says, you sit in my lap. I'm going to show you how you can do this. He's going to be your brace. He'll put the braces on your legs. And then, just like in Forrest Gump, like you've said so many times, you get in with the Lord. He's going to have those braces on for a while. Then you're going to be able to run, honey. And when you start running on this walk with the Lord and you have His power and His strength, those braces are going to fly off and you're going to be able to do this God's way. Thank you, Lord. So I do. I thank the Lord. So I can truly say that, Father, lead us not into temptation. The cry is to the Lord. God, I know you know what I need. And if I need something in front of me to find out who I am, do it. But otherwise, I don't want to go there, Lord. But if I find myself in a test of your making, I can find my way out of it. Safe and strong. By what we've covered tonight, by knowing what temptation is, and how to conquer it. Now, I know that's an awful lot that we covered in a very short time, but this is a long journey, and we need to take it one step at a time with the Lord. And this is, He gives us a little bits and pieces here and there, and I'm so grateful. Do not be frightened by temptation. There are reasons why God allows it. Go over this, get this settled in your heart, and go with God. God bless you.